give us some inside information, or not so much inside information, but actually talk to us about how many of our families are really living in Struggle Street. And I'm talking now about the assistant, well, I'm talking about Salvation Army. And I'm going to be speaking to Ian Hudson, and who is one of the Salvation Army senior personnel, and who will just be talking to us a little bit about what is happening in the food bank scene, and more importantly, how are they managing. Kia ora, Ian. Nice to talk with you this evening.
Kia ora. Good to be here.
Thank you. Look, Ian, I was just saying that a lot of people are really, many people, of course, our families, many of them were struggling prior to COVID. Then, of course, we had the lockdowns, and now we've got this really huge, and it's quite significant cost of living increase. And so they're finding it difficult to feed their families. So you would be there with the Salvation Army, because we know you do such great work all around the country. And how is it for you, and what are you seeing?
Yes, well, I heard your introduction, and you were very correct. What we're seeing is a lot of people, a significant increase in people coming, and what you said about the working poor. It's not just beneficiaries, it's there's definitely working people who've never come to us before. And I guess we're struggling because of a couple of things. One is obviously for the people themselves, the increase in the cost of living has impacted on them. But for us also, we have to find the food to give them. So we've got more people coming, and we're having to ourselves find more money to purchase some of the food that we could get before for less price. I think there's another factor going on as well, because in the past, during COVID, as you were aware, there was quite a lot of the government supported a lot of food provision during that time. And in recent times, some of that money has run out, so that not so much for us specifically, but some of the other providers of food have wound up or cut back on their services, so that what we're seeing is not only the increase that we would have seen just because of the cost of living, but we're also getting more people that would have in the past maybe looked to go elsewhere.
Right, so that would have then impacted on your ability to be able to provide for an increase in the numbers. But also, if you can't get the food donated, which may have happened in the past, Ian, then obviously it's having the dollars to then purchase what is then necessary.
That's correct. And so we're a bit under the pump at the moment from two different directions. But what you say is so true, that It's the new people that we're seeing, and the families that working families and beneficiaries that haven't come to us before, really doing it tough.
And Ian, how do they approach you? I mean, in terms of, they wouldn't, for many of them, they wouldn't have experienced this before, going to a food bank. Some of them might feel, I suppose, whakamar, as we say in Māori.
Yes.
It must be hard for them, but it also must be hard when you see that and you're trying to make it as less uncomfortable for them as you can, because you know, you're certainly the Salvation Army, I have never known you to be judgmental, but it must be difficult for those folk.
It is very difficult, and we do our utmost to try and enable them to uphold their mana, but it is just to walk in the door to come to us takes it's a big step, and you can see that sometimes in the faces of the people coming in, eyes cast down or sort of tentative. It's difficult for some people to come in. They get pushed a long way, some people, before they come in. I guess once you've been in there, and it may be easier to come back, but the first time is huge for many people.
So, yes, I'm sure it would be, Ian. So do you still get a lot of produce and other food items donated, or is most of it these days that you have to purchase?
We do get lots of food donated from various sources. We have a good system of food support from Countdown and others, but it only covers so far. And of course, with the increased demand, it's just made the gap larger. I mean, certain types of food we have to buy in, sometimes meat and other things that we don't get donated. And just to make up the shortfall, sometimes we need to purchase. And I guess with the extra demand, we're having to purchase more. And of course, as you is just the same for the people coming to us, what we have to purchase costs us more.
Yes, yes, it would be. And so, and are you seeing people that are coming from other parts of your city to you, or do they, or do mostly the people come that live within, a, with you know, close by?
Yes, more. I mean, we've got places all around the country, so mostly it's people who live somewhere in the vicinity of where our food provision places are. And but it's more the case of there's more people from within that region coming to us, not necessarily people coming from further afield.
And today is the start of your, is it the start of your winter appeal?
Yes, we're really aware that this time of the year is really tough for people with higher power bills and you know, just other things that go along with that. And so we've got our winter appeal on, and we're really calling for, we really need the help that we can get in this tough time, particularly with regard to the food. But not only that, there's other services that we provide that really do help people get out of that kind of, like the financial mentoring and counselling. There's a number of other things. So anything we can get, we really need people's support, and we really appreciate what we get. From there's so many generous people out there, we appreciate that.
And Ian, would other providers sort of work with you, if possible, in terms of providing some of those wraparound services, and actually even with the food bank as well? Do you sort of work collaboratively together with other service providers in your area?
Yes, we do. In fact, what we often we work with some of the food that we get, if we've got available, like the pressure's on at the moment, but in times when we have sufficient, we do work as much as we can with local iwi and provide food, because I mean we're obviously got our arrangement with Countdown, and sometimes we can put some of that off to other people if it's certain type of food that we've got more than enough of. We work with different people, but also on the other side of financial mentoring, sometimes we do the financial mentoring, but sometimes it's another organisation. It depends on the local area. We try to work in together as much as possible. And of course, on different parts of the country, you've got City Mission, and we try to keep in touch with them and work so that we're not all, you know, working in each other's area and cross getting in each other's way. So yeah, there's all these, we do try to work in as much as possible with other people where we can.
And of course, Ian, housing is a big issue. You know, social housing, just even affordable rental housing now in Aotearoa. And so families want to be able to, and I think it's a basic human right anyway, to have a warm, safe home. But many of our whānau don't have that. And so I guess you're also trying to see what you can do to support them, or at least to move them to a provider that might be able to help them in that space too, our whānau.
Well, definitely. And I mean, we've got some of our own services, but not everywhere. We've got quite a lot of transitional houses around the country, and also emergency as well as social housing, but depends where you are. And if we don't have it, or our ones are full, and I mean, there is pressure on all of those things, but we always work really hard to have a relationship with whoever's got that kind of housing and trying to source it. So just the last thing you want is someone coming in who, you know, a family or someone sleeping in a car or something like that, and we just have to do pull out all stops to try and get people into some kind of accommodation. And I mean, that is a strain at the moment, because we still have times when we really struggle to get people in somewhere. But it's good that the government's building more and more social houses. We just hope they'll rank that up a whole lot more, because that really is absolutely necessary. Because the housing, like you said, it's a human right as far as we can see. And if you're living in either totally inadequate accommodation, in a car or even in a damp, cold, especially when you're thinking winter type of house, we need to do everything we can to make sure families don't end up like that.
Look, I'm a great fan of the Salvation Army's annual State of the Nation report, and I know that it always contains recommendations that the government could perhaps look at, consider, and hopefully think about supporting and implementing. Did you, because your report came out in February, I think, Ian, and have you had feedback from the government or other government agencies as to the support that they can give you in the areas that you highlighted?
We have had talks with them, and I guess it's always a bit complicated, especially around the housing. But some of the things that we've talked to them about, they've implemented, and also they've worked through HUD and other parts of the government to help us do what we are trying to do. And we've enabled, in the last few years, over 100 new social housing and quite a lot more transitional housing as well. So we see some things done. It just seems sometimes the problem is so big that everything that you do doesn't seem to be, there seems to be so much more to be done, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Oh, actually, I certainly do know what you mean. Sometimes you think you're taking three steps forward and then that sounds okay. But then, of course, you take it. Perhaps sometimes you have to take one step backwards, and you sometimes wonder if progress is being made. But I just want to assure you, Ian, that the Salvation Army does have a reputation for being there for whānau in the good times, and also, but particularly in the times where it is a struggle for our whānau. So I want to thank you for the mahi that you're doing, and just let you know that what is it now that whānau that we can do that would support you in the work that you're doing? What would you like to encourage us to do?
Well, there's all sorts of things. I guess at the moment, because we're doing our winter appeal, just really encourage people, if they feel they're able to contribute to that. I mean, there's all sorts of other things like volunteering and so forth. But just at the moment, we've just got our winter appeal, and we really need that kind of financial support, and if people could give to that, that would be absolutely wonderful.
Well, there you are. Throughout this evening, Ian, I'm going to make sure that our listeners are aware that the annual Salvation Army annual winter appeal is on, and to give generously, because we know that it will go exactly where it's required to our families who are struggling. Ian, can I just ask you, are you a Lieutenant Colonel? Is that what you're... Because I'd like to make sure that we get your... Yes, you are.
Yep.
There. Thank you so much. Yes. Well, look, thank you very much, Ian, for taking the time to talk with our radio Waitea listeners this evening.